G.I. Journal goes to press. Yes, sir, it's the G.I. Journal again, the special service radio newspaper of the AEF. And now, fellas, I'd like to present a man that spent so much time at the foot of the class, it's no wonder he wound up corny. Your editor-in-chief, Kay Kaiser.
Well, howdy, fellas. How are y'all?
Hi, Kay!
Well, cross my words and call me puzzled. If this ain't always a proud moment for the old professor, inking up the presses and getting ready to roll off another edition of your G.I. Journal. Remember, fellas, the G.I. Journal is really the camp newspaper for the whole United Nations. Because each and every item of your radio newspaper is sent in by all you men overseas. Now, this is the five-star edition, men, and standing by are your five-star reporters. There's Arthur Q. Bryan, Mel Blanc, and then Georgia Carroll, blonde and gorgeous, who checks through all your mail from overseas. Inch your bibble in charge of poetry and stuff. A guest, Buck Private, who works his way up through the ranks. And our roving reporter, Rochester, who's out looking for students. Hello?
Hello, boss.
Rochester, quick, have you got some exciting news to report?
No, boss, I got nothing to report at all.
Nothing? Then what did you call me for?
This slug wouldn't fit in the pinball machine.
Yes, sir, our staff is standing by, so ink those rollers and set that type. Yes, flats and sharps are the really right. It's St. James Infirmary. Sure?
Well, look at the paper, Chief. That's the first time the Lone Ranger ever galloped across the plains on a banana.
Oh, yeah, and look at Superman. He laid an egg while flying over New York.
Pardon me, are you Editor Kaiser?
Yes.
Well, Mr. Kaiser, I'm from the camouflage department. How do you like my camouflage?
Why, you look just like any soldier. It's no good.
But that's just it. I'm not a soldier.
You aren't?
No, I'm a tree.
Well, I thought it was a little strange, that knothole in his forehead.
Hey, we better get to these here now poems the men overseas sent in. Here's a swell poem from Corporal James Hill way over in India.
Well, go ahead, H. Read it.
Okay, poem. A girl can sing, a girl can dance, a girl can play croquet, but she can't strike a match on the seat of her pants because she just ain't built that way.
Pick another one out of that bunch, Ish.
Well, sure. Here's one that shows great promise in this here now art of poetry. Poem. Roses are red, violets are blue. If you think this is going to rhyme, you're crazy.
Oh, my, my. Say, any of you men listen can have your poems printed in your GI journal. All you have to do is jot them down and send them in. Editor Kaiser speaking.
Hello, boss, it's Rochester. Me and Carmichael here at the front line. The band's got a sore foot.
His foot sore?
Yeah, so is he. Just took a swing at me.
Well, did he really?
Must have. I never had a herringbone back before.
Well, Rochester, it's your own fault. Carmichael wouldn't act like that if you weren't so afraid of him. Did you file his claws this morning?
Yeah, but only halfway up.
Why didn't you file them all the way?
Because that was as far as I could reach out from the inside of this general's red tank.
Well, look, Rochester, how did Carmichael hurt his foot?
He hit me.
Well, where did he hit you?
Between 18th and 19th on Chestnut Street.
Well, I still think you only have yourself to blame. If you took good care of Carmichael, he wouldn't do those things. Rochester, you wear me to a nubbin. How many times have I told you to treat Carmichael right, huh? How many times?
I don't know. I thought you were keeping score.
Now, okay, Rochester, I want you to make sure there's nothing else wrong with that bear. Now, pay attention.
Okay, boss.
Take a piece of cotton.
Take a piece of cotton.
Wad it up.
Wad it up.
Put mercurochrome on it.
Put mercurochrome on it.
Open his jaws wide and look down his throat. Rochester! Rochester!
Your echo just went AWOL.
And now you men requested it, so here it is, the right kind of love. The right kind of gal to sing this song. It's Julie Conway in The Right Kind of Love.
The right kind of love is all that I need to lift me from my misery. My worries would end if someone would send the right kind of love to me. The right kind of love is so hard to find. It's rarer than pearls in the sea. I tried and I tried, but I just can't decide the right kind of love for me. What I'm looking for in the guy I adore isn't diamonds and rubies and stuff. He just has to be kind of crazy for me. Now please, is that asking too much? I'll work and I'll sway. I'll think and I'll say, when I find my guy, yes, sirree, won't heaven be kind and help me to find the right kind of love for me?
Oh, Editor Kaiser, here's the letter you better read from a certain private overseas, namely, and to wit, Private Ray Biskey.
Okay, hand it here. Private Biskey wants to hear one of those Friends of the Kiddies he used to hear over the radio a few years back. You know, good old Uncle Charlie with his Be Your Mother's Little Helper Club. Music maestro, please.
Hello, kiddies. This is your old Uncle Charlie. Are all you dear, dear little children snuggled close and close to your radio? Let's all get closer, huh? Put your little head right up against the radio. Closer now. Closer. There. That ought to burn your ugly pusses on the tube. Oh, but of course I'm kidding, you sweet, sweet children. Yes. if I had a conscience, boy, how it would hurt. Now, here's a letter from a very worried mother. Her little boy, Johnny, bites his fingernails. And knowing that little Johnny always listens to what Uncle Charlie says, he wants me to say something to him about biting fingernails. Certainly I will, madam. Little Johnny? Tastes good, don't they? Now we have a special little guest with us today, little Joseph, who's celebrating his fifth birthday. My, we're getting along in years, aren't we, Joseph?
Speak for yourself, Fatso.
Now, Joseph, is that right, calling me Fatso?
No, it's not right.
What name should you call me?
My mommy says I can't use that word till I'm 17.
Now, Joe, we've always been such good friends, you know. Palsy-walsies. Yes, humsy-wumsies. You love your good old Uncle Charlie.
He's an hearty son of a gun, ain't he?
Joseph, my patience is at an end. You are no longer a member of the Uncle Charlie Club. Hand over your membership pin.
Oh, no, Uncle Charlie. Don't make me give you my membership pin.
Joseph, give me that pin.
Ooh! He shouldn't have asked for it when he was bending over.
Here's Harry Babbitt and all the gang to turn on a song for you called You Are So Good to Me.
I never was one to hand out one word that wasn't true. But baby, you're such a standout, I can't conceal the way I feel about you. When the lipstick on my collar starts you raving,
shame, shame, shame.
And I tell you that I cut myself while shaving,
blame, blame, blame.
And you do believe I wasn't misbehaving. Baby, you're so good to me. When you're sitting in your rocking chair and knitting,
rock, rock, rock.
It's a cross between a sweater and a mitten,
rock, rock, rock.
And you tell me it's for me instead of Britain. Though the socks are loud, I'm proud as I can be. Honey, you're so good to me. Lucky me.
Sergeant Warren Malone. He'd like to have us do one of those patent medicine commercials they tag in between radio programs.
All right, Sergeant.
Pep up, pills. Hot on the air. Pep up, pills, theme song. Old man, liver. Soldiers, after morning calisthenics, the top drill in a 23-mile hike. Don't you feel tired? Pills, pep up pills. One pep up pill gets rid of that tired feeling. Two pep up pills get rid of that lazy feeling. Three pep up pills and you've got no feeling left at all. Pep up pills make you feel 20 years younger. Here's an old man who took four pills yesterday. Will you say something, old man?
I want my mommy.
That's what I make you want. Now, don't forget, men, you step up pills. They come in three convenient sizes, small, large, and disgusting. And step up pills are triple concentrated. Yesterday, a colonel took one, and his eagle flew away. And a package of step up pills is convenient and fresh. Just go down to your corner drugstore, sign over your entire allotment, and it's yours. So buy step up pills. Step up. Remember the initials.
Okay. Hey, just look at this pile of mail from servicemen overseas.
Well, that sure is a stack of letters, Georgia Carol. How's about us reading a couple of them right now? Hand me one, sugar.
All right, here's one from Jerry Jackson in North Africa.
That's right, and good Corporal Jackson is writing us all about the ancient city of Carthage on the Mediterranean, which he says is an African name, meaning in Brooklyn we call it Coney Island. Carthage is the old swimming hole for thousands of GIs stationed in North Africa. But there's always a bunch of men, women, and children standing around watching, says the corporal. So we've learned how to undress in public. I've become so expert at stripping down and showing nothing, the boys all call me Gypsy Rose Jackson.
Okay, here's an interesting letter from a pharmacist mate aboard a submarine in the South Pacific.
Oh, that's a letter about the Jeep, isn't it?
That's right. The only Jeep in the world that ever traveled by submarine. He says, we picked up the Jeep at Pearl Harbor, and we lashed it to the conning tower, planning to use it when we got shore leave. Well, every time we submerged, we took out the motor and the tires and stowed them in the sub. The only trouble was we never got enough shore leave to use our Jeep. Well, we finally sold it to a destroyer captain for 3 quarts of vanilla ice cream.
Oh, I'll just bet a General Grant tank would have brought 4 quarts of Tutti Frutti.
Well, here's a letter from Red Metcalf in the AEF in England about the bang-up job they're doing repairing bombers damaged in raids over Europe. 95% of the homecoming planes with missing parts get back to active service.
Sounds like they don't even waste the roar of the engine.
Well, Red says at once they combined the unharmed tail section of a flying fortress, whose front half was all punched in, with the nose of another fort.
I get it. Sort of a Flyamese twin.
I'll pretend I didn't hear that. Well, sometimes planes that can't be fixed up are used for other damaged craft. Cannibalism, as this stripping is called, has proved better than flying spare parts in from the U.S.
Those fellows might even be able to fix up Jack Benny's Maxwell.
Could be. But it certainly is interesting to learn all these little items from you men overseas. So keep writing them in, won't you?
That's right, fellas. Let the other guys know about your experiences through your old GI journal. You won't be blue when you hear a beautiful gal named Georgia Carroll sing in the blue of evening.
In the blue of evening, when you appear close to me, dear one, there in the dusk we'll share a dream. In the blue of evening, while crickets call and stars are falling, there neath the starlit sky, you'll come to me. In the shadows of the night, you'll stand, I'll touch your hand, and then softly as your lovely eyes entwine, our lips will meet again. In the blue of evening, night winds above whispering, I love you. In the blue of evening.
Beatrice Hugh Bryan, our own G.I. Beatrice Bearfax.
Thank you, Mr. Kaiser. And greetings, soldiers, sailors, and marines.
Well, what happens to be our lovelorn problem today, Mr. B?
Well, it's a very engrossing one. It's from Private Tony Pabian up in Alaska. He says his girlfriend keeps playing practical jokes on him. It worries him. Don't worry about it, Private. Even I play jokes on my wife, Rosie Love. Just yesterday we were visiting an army camp and I made up a great big fib. I told her the camp law was that all civilians were to walk exclusively on the white line in the middle of the road.
Oh, don't tell me she fell for that.
Yep, she did. Why, I'll never forget the look on her sweet face when she smacked into that big tank coming from the opposite direction.
But, man, you might have been sending her out to her death.
You know, I don't wow.
Well, did it knock her out?
Unfortunately, no. I laughed so hard I thought I'd split my side. And I would have, too, if I hadn't ducked that bandit she kept jabbing at me.
Oh, that sounds more like her.
Oh, but she didn't mean any harm by it, Mr. Kaiser. In fact, right after that, she quacked a great big smile.
She did?
Yep, my smile.
Well, you shouldn't take that stuff from her. Why don't you try being a big caveman?
Oh, but I am a caveman. Every time she yells at me, I cave right in. She's a regular bazooka.
A what?
A bazooka.
But a bazooka shoots fire and steel.
That's what I mean.
Hello, boss.
Rochester, I thought I told you to sail with the fleet and get me a story on our Navy.
That's just what I did, boss. I'm over here on this big battleship. The sailors gave me a pair of sailor pants to put on, but they didn't tell me how.
Well, tell me, did you finally get them laced up?
Well, I don't know, boss. Looks to me like they're more loused up than laced up.
Well, that must be a real experience, wearing sailor's pants. Are they really as tight as I hear they are?
Tight? I'll say they're tight. Man, I got to bend down twice to get down once.
Well, how about some information, Rochester? Is the water calm or rough today?
It's really rough, boss. Everyone is staggering from side to side when they walk. That is, everyone except one man.
Everyone is staggering from side to side except one man? Who's that?
W.C. Fields. He comes out even.
Well, how about the sailors? Do they roll from side to side?
What was that?
The sailors. Do they roll from side to side?
No, they shoot dice same as anyone else.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to report about your experience on that ship?
Yeah, boss, my stomach don't feel so good.
Well, what's the matter with it, Rochester?
Well, either I'm seasick or I must have had a yo-yo for lunch.
Oh, that's too bad. Are you really suffering?
Oh, that's all right, boss. It's hardly worth bringing up.
And now here's our way of saying hello musically to all the branches of the service. Let's listen to a medley of some of the service songs.
And to keep our honor clean,
we
you're bound to claim the title of United States Marine.
What do they say?
Well, here's one from Alaska for our classified ads department. One, hot blonde girl mechanic. Signed, Jeep with cold motor.
Hey, what's up? Oh, yes. Well, that one ad was sent in by Sergeant W.T. Donahue, and here's a letter from Private Eddie Waters in the Southwest Pacific.
Yeah, he sent in a riddle.
Well, let's have it, Hick.
Okay, riddle. When are oysters in season?
I give up.
Oysters are in season all the time.
I don't get it.
Well, listen, oysters are in season all the time because the season is the salt. Salt makes you thirsty. Water quenches thirst. Water comes from a faucet. Faucets are in kitchens, so are cooks. Some cooks are named Pearl. A pearl can be found in an oyster that is cut open. An open cut is an incision, so oysters are in season all the time.
Well, I was a fool to ask. And now we'd better get going, men. Don't forget, this program is made up of gags, poems, and chatter sent in by all you men overseas. If you have a funny gag commercial, a poem, or a joke, or a real-life incident you'd like printed in your newspaper of the air, just V-mail your old editor, Kay Kaiser, Special Service, Los Angeles, USA, and we'll give it a column. And until then, so long, everybody.
The GI Journal has been a presentation of the Special Service Division of the War Department of the United States of America.